We are going to do a class, and it's called Listen, Understand, Act. And it's learning to hear, interpret, and act on your inner guidance.
Oh.
So we're really going to talk about kind of how it works to sort of be able to connect with yourself. So often, you know, I get people that come to me for readings, and I know Krista does too, that they want to know, you know, what should I do for this or what should I do for that? And it's because, or they say, how do I hear? How do I do this?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a beginner's class on how to listen to your own intuition and to be able to sort of make those decisions on your own. Being able to listen. So
that's cool. So yeah. When is this class going
to
be?
It will be August 6th from 11 to 1 at Friends Philosophy and Tea.
And this is August 6th being what day of the week?
August 6th is, you asked me a question, I don't know. Hang on a second. Let me look really quick.
Hey, well, you're teaching the class.
Oh, I know. I should know, shouldn't I? August 6th is a Saturday.
Okay. All righty. And we will get details up on current events.
Okay, but if they want, I want to let them know that they can actually go to the New Spirit Journal website.
Oh, okay.
And they can pre-register. If they pre-register, it's...
I imagine there's a limit, space limit.
Yeah, there is a space limit, and so we really need to know, and Krista's going to...
How much is this going to cost?
It is $40 if they pre-register. It's $50 at the door.
$40 if you pre-register, $50 at the door.
And Krista's is actually putting together some pendulums for them, so they'll get a free pendulum. But they can get on the New Spirit Journal website.
www.newspiritjournal.com.
And you'll see a link to it, and you can pre-register there for it, too. So
okay. It
should be really fun. I think we're going to, you know, it's going to be a great day.
All right. Well, of course, we're way over time.
Uh-oh.
We'll chalk it up to... Anything goes in the new studio. Let's just close this hour out, turn it around, and we'll get right back to our subject, end-of-life issues with our animal friends. And like I said, we'll put more current events information about Krista and the Kim's class as they get closer to August. And you can access all of those details, except for that event, at www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on current events. And just stay right where you are, because Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK, FM 98.9, Digital HD3 Seattle.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the third hour of our Mother's Day edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150, except not today. We're out at 1145. You can tune us in on the radio dial, internet, or listen to the archives later at www.marthanorwalk.com. And alert, alert, we have a correction.
Yes, we do.
Well, you know, we're reality radio today, so it's okay. We're messing up the detail. And if you would like to pre-register for Kim and Krista's class coming up in August, forget the New Spirit Journal website. We are going to go to www.KristaGibson.com.
And it's
K-R-Y-S-T-A. Krista. Gibson.com.
Got it.
And that's where we pre-register?
Yes.
All right.
And you can find the info there, too.
Now we can talk New Spirit Journal, because I do write a regular column for the New Spirit Journal. And you can access that at www.newspiritjournal.com. So there you can go and read my latest column. Of course, you can read all the other columns and stuff, too. But I say read mine first.
Okay.
All right. I think we can bypass contact information and all that stuff, and let's just get back to our subject, because I know this time is going to fly faster than we imagine here at this point. All right, I promised you my next story was probably the most profound, and some of you may have heard this before, but this was my first golden retriever. Drake was what? Now, I had Scampi, I had my German Shepherds, and that got me into competition training and all that sort of stuff. My first really hot competition dog was my first golden retriever, and that was Drake. And I have to say, I think he really was my first heart, really serious heart dog. And he lived about the average golden retriever life, which is about 13 years. And almost all of my Goldens have made it to that age. Drake, though, was my first competition dog. We did competition obedience. We did field trial. We did confirmation. You know, he was in the top 10 in Goldens in the country and was only showed locally. I mean, he was a pretty hot dog. No pun intended there. Anyway, when Drake, when I found out it was his time to go, I have to say that I was just beginning my own personal spiritual awakening. I believe I had found my teacher, but I hadn't been studying for very long. So I was just kind of awakening to metaphysical principles and was just was not into communication a lot and that sort of thing at that point yet. That really happened with my next golden, Chowie. But Drake was the love of my life. And what happened with him is that he'd been coughing a little bit. And I wasn't really all that concerned about it, but I took him. I was working at Green Lake Animal Hospital at the time. And I took him with me to work one day. And you know, my vet friend, you know, was listening to his chest and stuff and couldn't hear anything. I said, well, it sounds okay. But, you know, as long as he's here, why don't we snap an x-ray just to find out? So I was an x-ray technician, too. So we took the x-rays. I'm the one that developed them. And when I put the film up on the screen to see it, you know, it was that heart sink because his lungs were full of cancer.
Oh, no.
And there was, like, practically no lung space left. And the vets were like, how come we couldn't hear this? Or, you know, I mean, there was absolutely no evidence. And just a little bit of cough. But anyway, looking at the x-rays, the vet said, I don't give him more than a month to live. And the real kicker on that one is that particular day happened to be my birthday.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now, I was married at the time. And so went home right away, told my husband what had gone on, and that Drake's favorite place in the whole world was kind of like my favorite place, too, which is the Washington coast and the sandpiper and walking the beaches. So we immediately booked the next weekend and went down to the sandpiper so Drake could have, because at that point he was still, you know, he was still Drake. You know, we didn't know other than he had a little cough.
Right.
And so we had a great weekend at the ocean, and home we came. And I was so concerned, you know, after my experiences with Scamp and Muffin, I was so concerned that I would miss Drake's passing. So I was talking to him all the time about, you know, you have to let me be with you. We have to be together. We have to be together. And so I started taking him everywhere I went. He went to all the classes I taught and laid on a blanket, you know, like he usually did. Or when I was doing doggy daycare and working the dogs, you know, he'd lay in the back of my wagon and watch me work the dogs. Mm-hmm. Took him everywhere. And as we got closer, as he was getting weaker and weaker, and then I started having to home cook for him, it really, at that point, my biggest thing that was bothering me was I was just awakening spiritually. I didn't quite understand it all yet. And I did not want to have to put him to sleep. Mm. that, you know, that, and the vet was saying, this kind of lung cancer, not a pretty death.
Yeah.
You're going to have to euthanize him because otherwise he's going to suffer and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I truly believe that spirit, you know, on a higher level, we support ourselves mm-hmm. and when we need to be supported. And in this situation, my prayers were totally answered. I was totally supported. We went through that last month of his life. He was with me 24/7. He went everywhere I went. If I had to go someplace without him, I had my husband or my stepson on Drake duty with, you know, they would call me or whatever. And as it got towards the end, he couldn't eat processed food. I had to start home cooking and I would hand feed him. And the last weekend was pretty tough because the good news that he was on prednisone, which seemed to eliminate all the, you know, the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And he never suffered, which was amazing. It was a very peaceful and slow deterioration. And the last night, because I had taken to kind of sleeping with him because mm-hmm. I wanted to be there. And,
yeah.
and that last night, I'd stayed up most of the night, and he had been in the house with me. But at some point, he moved out into the backyard and was laying on the cool grass. And by early morning, I mean, I could hardly keep my eyes open. So I went to take a little nap, and my stepson took over. And then I got up and came back in, checked on him. He was still sleeping on the grass in the backyard. And he was a little bit a ways from the door. It was a big sliding glass door and glass windows across a big family room. And then the kitchen was on the other side of that. So I was at the kitchen counter, and I was cooking his breakfast on mm-hmm. the stove. And I could see across that big room and through the sliders. And as I was cooking, all of a sudden, I saw Drake coming towards the door.
Uh-huh.
You know, and he hadn't been up for like 12 hours.
Yeah.
And he was standing, and he came in, and the doors were open. He walked in the door, and he was started staggering across the floor towards the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I knew immediately.
He was coming in.
It was time. So I dropped what I was doing on the stove. I ran around the corner. And we met in the middle of the family room mm-hmm. there, and I just got down on the floor, and he moved right into my arms, mm-hmm. and I'll never forget it. I cradled him in my arms, and his mm-hmm. head was on my left shoulder, and he looked up into my eyes, and oh my God, the love that mm-hmm. I felt was so profound.
Wow.
Now, the hard part is my husband walked into the room at that time.
Uh-huh.
And I said, Tom, it's time.
Yeah.
It's time. He's going. Now, I expected Tom to come down on the floor and put his arms around us and be part of that pile while he passed. Well, Tom couldn't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was gone like a flash.
Yeah.
So that was out. But anyway, so he's cradled in my arms, and he looks up at me, and our eyes meet, and the love. And I just feel him peacefully pass right out of his body. And he just went peacefully right in my arms.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, I just said, thank you, thank you, thank you.
That's like the perfect passing.
I told you.
Yeah.
It was. And there was no logical explanation for it because the vets had warned me it never
yeah.
goes this way with this. And it just, but you know, for me, right,
he felt really
then,
safe.
That's what I needed.
Yeah,
I just
really
didn't want to kill my dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
but it, you know, it's my most favorite passing story because mm-hmm. it was really lovely.
Yeah.
Now, after that, after Drake's passing, now this I already had Chowie Golden was a youngster at that point. So mm-hmm. Doodle, my other Golden, had moved in with my parents. I had Chowie Golden. So when Drake passed, right away, Chowie became number one. And so it was a pretty easy transition for me through that. But I was then really, I was studying the light work. I was learning metaphysical and spiritual principles. And at some point in my light work training, we studied the Ten Commandments and the meanings of the Ten Commandments. And one really struck me. And that was the thou shalt not kill. Well, I have to tell you, folks, on all the years, you know, I started working in veterinarian offices when I was 15, and all those years taught me how blessed we are to be able to help our animal friends leave mm-hmm. without suffering.
Right.
And I really believed that was a gift and a blessing, and I'd learned over and over again it was okay. Mm-hmm. But then I got into all this spiritual stuff. And then, we studied the Ten Commandments, and even though there were current interpretations and all of that,
yeah.
I had this issue with this, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. I want to be a good little spiritual student here. Yeah. I want to live the law. I can't kill anything. Mm-hmm. Well, then the next two experiences I had. The first experience was Annie in her first lifetime with me. And I'm just going to go through this real quickly. She was a coyote hybrid that was rescued by someone that called me for help. She ended up living with me because nobody else could live with her because she was a coyote, for heaven's sakes. So she was a coyote mm-hmm. hybrid living with me and got pregnant. Swear to God, it was an immaculate conception. at any rate.
Kind of like Maggie.
Well, yeah, she told me that she was leaving and she was going to give me one baby as a gift to take care of me before she left. And sure enough, she birthed one female puppy on my birthday that year. And the problem was she only had one puppy because she was an old dog. And she mm-hmm. had one puppy born. Well, as a behavior therapist, not a good idea to raise one single puppy by humans. That gets you into trouble.
Right.
So I called up my friend Colleen out at the academy and said, hey, you don't happen to have a litter of puppies or something around that I could snag a puppy from you to raise with my puppy?
Yeah.
She said, yeah, I have a litter of Irish Water Spaniel puppies. Just born. One of them has a problem. His lower jaw isn't growing, and he's going to have to be euthanized at some mm-hmm. point. And so if you want to take him to raise with your puppy, be okay. Yeah. So I went and got that puppy, and that puppy, I raised puppy and my little Jamie is what her name was, together. Now, at the same time, I'm thinking, oh, I've learned thought directs energy, energy follows thought, thought magnifies and intensifies energy. There's nothing that can't be healed. I can heal this puppy. So this puppy's, I'm raising her with Jay, and the puppy's growing up, and I have like 17 dogs at this point. I'm like Caesar Milan with all this herd.
And you give me bad time for six?
Well, it's only because I'm a teaser. I didn't...
17?
Yeah, well, hello.
And you give me a bedtime for six?
Yeah. Well, it's not 17.
Okay.
All right, so anyway, so I had lots of dogs and all this stuff, and we're raising this. Well, and I'm doing Reiki, and I'm channeling energy, and I'm doing all this healing work, and I'm praying, I'm doing all this healing work on this puppy. And this puppy's growing up, and he's growing up, but his lower jaw is not growing.
Mm.
So he has this no lower jaw. Which means now that Jay's old enough to play with, I've got these other young dogs, and they're all roughhousing together and all of this. Well, they're beating the crap out of this little Irish Water Spaniel puppy because he has no lower jaw, and he can't defend himself.
Yeah.
And he can't really feed himself very well. Mm-hmm. And he's got scabs now on his ears and his neck from being chewed on by the other dogs. Am I getting it?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm still – I can heal this dog, and I'm not killing this dog. And I'm – So I go through – well, the end of the story is I didn't get it. I kept trying to heal this dog. The dog was suffering in its relationships.
Right.
Okay. So in order for me to get the message, guess what happened? He had a jaw problem, right?
Uh-oh.
All of a sudden, mm-hmm. I got this dog's pain in its jaw in my jaw.
Mm.
And I woke up one day, my jaw hurts so bad. And it keeps getting worse and worse. And after two or three days, I can't open my mouth. I can't chew. I can't eat. I'm in excruciating pain. Mm. And so, of course, when I tune in and ask and get help from my teacher and all of this, I realize that I am, in fact, now feeling the dog's pain. And the only way, I'm told the only way it's going to leave my body is if I help this puppy leave his body. So I finally understand that because I'm in so much pain, I cannot stand it for one more second. So I go to the vet, and as this puppy is euthanized in my arms, and as the puppy leaves his body.
Your jaw starts to feel better?
The pain in my jaw leaves as well. So that was lesson number one, that, hey, Martha, maybe, you know, this thou shalt not kill stuff is not an absolute, and there are extenuating circumstances, and that it is okay to put them down.
Well, you know, there is that other commandment that Jesus brought, that thou shalt love each other.
Oh, yeah. Right. We don't listen to that one either.
We don't either. It's the hardest one, isn't it?
All right, now.
And it's an act of love.
And did I get it? No, didn't get it on that one either. Yeah. So then we come, next experience is Annie, my Annie Golden Retriever, who's not Annie Golden Retriever. She's Annie Odie because she's in the coyote suit and she's old. And she's told me that, you know, that she's getting ready to leave. She was giving me another puppy to take care of me. And that when that puppy was ready to be my protector, that she would leave. Well, amazing timing on this one, because Jay had grown up. She was like a year or so old. I had sent her out to the Academy of Canine Behavior to go through their board and train program. Because I had, you know, so many dogs. I'm training everybody else's dogs, can't train my own. So she went to board and train with Colleen. I picked her up and brought her home on Thursday. My husband and stepson moved out that evening. Annie had a stroke that night.
Wow.
And she was protecting me from that energy. Yeah. All right, so next morning I get up. Annie Golden's had a stroke. I mean, Annie Coyote has had a stroke. And mind you, she was a coyote mix. I was the only human that could handle her and do anything with her. And she can't hardly get up. Her balance is all off. If she's just laying down, she's okay. But if she stands up and starts to move, it throws her equilibrium off. She starts staggering and then gets nauseated and starts getting sick. Now, she's already told me she was leaving as soon as I didn't need her anymore. Jay's ready. I mean, all the ducks have happened.
Yeah.
Am I getting it? No, I'm still telling myself I don't want to kill her. Maybe I can. So I'm calling them, what can I do for a dog with a stroke and da-da-da, all this kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, I get this pain in the middle of my back, you know, behind my heart. And it's getting worse and it's getting worse. And the longer I'm holding on to Annie, the worse it gets. I get to the point where I'm excruciating pain. I can't move hardly. I drag myself to the car and haul myself in the car, drive myself to my chiropractor. She gets me on the table and straightens me out. The pain is still there. She said, Martha, and she was very intuitive. Scotty, for you know, it was Dave's wife back then, Linda Ingstead. And she was very intuitive. And she laid me on the table. She said, I'm going to leave you here because I know there is a heart lesson you are not learning. And until you get it, that pain is going to stay. I'm leaving you here on the table to get it. So she left the room. And, of course, then immediately I got from, you know, I got Annie in my mind. And you have to let me go. That's my pain, yada, yada, yada. So home I went, called my friend Colleen and had her bring her vet friend down to the house to euthanize Annie. Well, I didn't know how that was going to go because she's a coyote mix. She won't deal with other people. She is now curled up underneath the bedside table in my bedroom, and it's dark, and she's curled under that table. They come to the house. They have the euthanasia and all that kind of stuff. But I tell them, I say, look, she doesn't like other people. She can't be handled by other people. I want you guys to just stay out here, and I'm going to go do it myself. And, okay, well, then there's this big argument because you can't kill your own dog, and you're going to regret it and all this kind of stuff. And then I finally convince them that it's okay to let me euthanize my own dog, because the worst-case scenario for me would be to have to force her out from under that table and have strangers do it, and she's panicked, and that's how she leaves her body. No, I want, well, how can you do it yourself? I don't know. We'll figure it out. And I had been talking to Annie all day about the procedure and telling her that I'd have to put, you know, a tourniquet around her her forearm and the needle in the vein. I'll tell you what, Kim, this was once again one of the most profound experiences I have ever had. Because I took the tourniquet, I took the syringe with the euthanasia solution, I went into my bedroom, I got down on the floor, I crawled in under the table, I told Annie it was time, I put the tourniquet on her elbow, you know, above her elbow, and then my left hand has to kind of get the vein going. get it right. And then the right hand has the syringe, and I get the needle in, and Annie's just laying there just fine. Mm-hmm. I get the needle into the vein. Well, then I have to let go of the syringe, you know, to get to the plunger.
The plunger,
and
yeah.
I didn't have enough hands.
Oh, no.
Guess what?
She held it.
Annie turns her head around, and uh-huh. she puts her mouth on the syringe, and she holds it on her arm.
Wow.
While I do the plunger.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. That was it. I got it. Okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. That was the last issue I had with the commandment, and I now realize it is, in fact, a blessing
yeah.
to help our friends go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other two situations I want to share with you briefly is the other big lesson I've learned, and I don't ever hear anybody else talking about this, and I think it's critical for you all to understand this, and because I think it's absolutely okay with Spirit for us to say, we're going to help you leave so that you don't have to suffer.
Yes.
And one of the issues, another issue that I have right now is there's a whole side business in veterinary medicine cropping up now related to hospice care for our animal friends. And I have a real, because I'm not sure. Yeah, Kim's saying it's based in money. Of course it is. But in some cases, it might be very helpful. In both the last two cases with Annie Golden, as well as with Scooty, I hospiced for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It kept them because they had problems and so forth. But it was always with their permission and with them dictating what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little concerned. There's a lot of people out there that are being encouraged to not euthanize, to let them die naturally and stay in hospice care long, way, 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 way too long.
Yeah, and then they're not, I mean, if you're going to let an animal die naturally, that means you're not going to medicate it. If you're going to let somebody die naturally, that means you're not going to
Well, I think
stuff
they give pain
full.
Meds and all that. That's what all this hospice stuff,
yeah,
they do. But
still,
yeah.
I mean, if you're going to give it prednisone, if you're going to give it all these things, that's not how they die in the wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think that there still is, Martha, a circle of life.
Yeah.
And you mm-hmm. cannot, especially with them, they understand the circle of life. I don't know. I mean, I have Noah and then I have Tuxedo, and he brought in a variated thrush.
Oh, yeah,
and
he killed it. Thrush.
Yeah, varied thrush, and mm-hmm. he brought it into, and he had killed it, and... And, you know, Jill is really upset about it. And that's what they do. It's a circle of life. And if you're going to let them go naturally, then you have to let them go through it naturally the way they would do it. And to pay somebody to come and pump them full of something isn't natural.
Yeah. Okay.
So
let's take care
that's
of our advertisers and sponsors for the last time so I don't space it like I did last week. And with that, and then we'll come back. I'll tell you my final stories and the last lesson that I feel is so important for y'all to understand, because it makes a huge difference in this euthanasia process. So I'll tell you that next. Stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend, and Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now check out their website, jonesandcompanypets.com, find out everything that's on sale, and then you'll know it's always worth a trip to Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Avenue in Marysville. Join their preferred customer club for discounts and free food. Call them at 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
The Spirit Weight, a tribute, a treasure, a timeless reminder of a beloved pet or person no longer with us. Spirit Waits are stunning egg-shaped art glass memorials, hand-blown and signed by Mark Boutte in his Camino Island glass studio. Spirit Waits are beautifully crafted with hollow centers to hold a small amount of cremation ashes, sealed forever in a timeless glass memorial. Go to spiritwait.com to read about Spirit, the inspiration, see design options, and get a Spirit Wait order form. The Spirit Wait, a unique, distinctive, and beautiful blown glass memorial.
The Gary Mance Show, it's the home of mastery and mystery.
This Saturday, after Mance and Mitchell in the morning at 10, Susan Harmon, the metaphysical maven of Emerald Spiral, drops by the studio at 11.
Then Leslie Rule, our literary ghost hunter, is back with more of her favorite stories of real-life spirit encounters.
From Earth Mother to apparitions, that's mastery and mystery.
Mance and Mitchell in the morning, Saturday at 10, followed by The Gary Mance Show at 11 Pacific.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets.
Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage, celebrating their 10th anniversary. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including massage for canines, small and large animal certification, and equine ligament therapy.
For more information, go to NWSAM.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703.
Join their Facebook page for exciting announcements and great anniversary deals.
Karma specialist and founder of Metaphysical Mothering, Robin Alexis, is nurturing, powerful, and phenomenally gifted. Her books and personal one-on-one phone sessions can change your life forever. And now she's channeled the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. Learn about this membership and how to get exclusive contact with her at her website, robinalexis.com. Robin invites you to register for her weekly newsletter and share your comments and experiences in her blog and forum with her and other community members at robinalexis.com. Robin uses her ability as a medical intuitive and a metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She is a medium, and she can talk to your spirit guides and angels, and she's adept at doing all this over the phone and through the website at robinalexis.com. You can call her for a private session at 360-457-2993, and you can email her at robin@robinalexis.com.
Remember, you're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're on the downside of this Mother's Day edition of Animal World. We're out at 1145 today, but we're normally here Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. to noon, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Kim Miller, medium and animal intuitive, is here. We've been talking end-of-life issues with our animal friends. And the last big lesson I want to share with you, because I think this is so powerfully important, I have experienced this a number of times in letting my animals go. Most profoundly, for the first time, was when I had to euthanize Chowie Golden, mm-hmm. my major heart dog. Mm-hmm. He's my biggest heart dog ever.
Wow.
So far, was Chowie Golden. And then it happened again. This very recently with Scooty,
mm-hmm.
and this is what I want to share with you. With Annie, with Chowie Golden, it was a tough time for me to let go of him. I was out at my farm. His passing was triggered. I mean, he was older and was somewhat deteriorating, but it was triggered by what I call the human-to-animal transference, meaning that our animals pick up, process, and reflect back what's going on with their humans. Mm-hmm. I had a very serious breakup with someone, and I was in a lot of emotional pain. There was a lot of stuff going on. Chowie was processing all of that stuff of mine because I was just learning how to move through emotional energy and not mm-hmm. stuff and suppress.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a very difficult time. I had major conversations with Chowie about why now, it's my stuff, let me deal with it. And he let me know, you know, Mom, this is just the way it is on planet Earth. I'm here because I choose to. We can't control it. You know, just get used to it. That's the way it is.
And they're sponges.
Yeah. They yeah, and that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
So at any rate, Chowie was had a debilitating nerve problem in one of his front legs, which would get aggravated. And he would not be able to even move his leg, let alone bear weight. And it was excruciatingly painful for him. And it gotten to the point where, again, I was trying to keep him going. And so I, being a vet tech, had injectable steroidal medication at home. And mm-hmm. in the morning, I'd have to give him an IV injection for him to be able to move and all of that. Well, it got to the point where it was time to go. He said he was ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So... he had been spending most of the time in the house. I could maybe sling him and get him out to potty and then right back in. But, you know, quality of life was just like totally gone. Well, he and I had a heart-to-heart. We decided it was time and I needed to help him go. So it was late afternoon. I called the vet and made an appointment because I asked him, do I need to bring someone here? Can we go to the vet? No, I like Dr. Bruce. We can go to the vet. So I called, made an appointment for the next morning. This is the lesson. Sometimes we get really incredible gifts around this experience. And the gift I'm talking about is sometimes when at the right moment you make the decision to help your animal friend go, make the commitment, make the appointment for someone to come or to go. There, I have no idea how or why this happens. I just believe it's a gift from spirit. Mm-hmm. There's a last-minute rally on the part of the animal.
It happens with everybody.
Yeah. Now, what happens and what my experience with Chowie, all of a sudden it was like this light came over him.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden his pain was gone. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden he could get up and move. That day for the first time, and I don't know how long, he came out of the house with mm-hmm. me. He did chores with me. We cleaned the horses. We fed the horses. We walked all around the property, got to hike his leg everywhere in all his favorite spots and the tan anchors behind mm-hmm. us. And then he chewed on all his favorite chew toys and we played all his favorite games. And we had the most wonderful, wonderful evening together. Mm-hmm. Now, if I hadn't understood this and known it was time...
You would have thought it wasn't time.
I would have thought, oh my God, he's getting better. Cancel mm-hmm. the appointment.
Mm-hmm.
I see this happen over and over again. You need to be aware of that last-minute rally, and I believe it is a gift. It was a gift for me, for Chowie, because he got to mm-hmm. say goodbye and do all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a gift for me, because I got to remember that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, and in the next morning, I didn't have to crawl under the table to inject him. He stayed out so mm-hmm. I could do it, and it was easy, and it went really, really well. Now, the same thing happened. I told you about it, you know, a month and a half mm-hmm. ago when Scooty passed. I mean, Scooty didn't eat for the last full, you know, 48 hours of his life. He couldn't eat. And when I realized it was time and we decided it was time, he was becoming emaciated and he was deteriorating. I knew it was time. Robin confirmed it's time. Kim confirmed it's time. And bless his heart, Dr. Doug Yearout agreed to come to my home, which he doesn't do house calls. He agreed to come to my home to help Scooty go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made that, you know, those arrangements. And then it was absolutely amazing. Now, Scooty, he didn't get his appetite back. He couldn't eat again.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, the deterioration stopped. And all of a sudden, instead of looking emaciated, you know, and the eyes kind of running and stuff, his strength came back. His eyes got bright. He was wandering around and acting like, you know, Scooty again.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the morning, and Doug was coming in the early afternoon. But that morning, I mean, Scooty was Scooty again. And we had hugs and snuggles and buzz. And he felt so good. We put on his jacket and his walking jacket and leash. And we walked all of our property. And it was the most wonderful, wonderful half a day
mm-hmm.
before, you know, I had to let him go. And I know it was a gift to me mm-hmm. that I don't have to remember my beloved Scooty emaciated and slipping away. Mm-hmm. It's those bright, wonderful eyes. But once again, if I hadn't known, I might have called Doug and canceled. Mm-hmm. And then you get into it, it gets just worse. It mm-hmm. really tanks after that. So I want you to remember that. The last thing that I want to say is how important it is to then allow yourself to go through the grieving process. You must feel it and move through it. You can't go over or around or under it. And stuffing and suppressing it, grief is an energy. It stays in your body. The longer it's there, it causes havoc. And the last stage is physical disease and illness. You need to feel it and move through it.
Yes, you do.
And if mm-hmm. you have never grieved before, really grieved and allowed yourself to feel it, be prepared. The first time you go through a real grieving process, mm-hmm. you won't just be grieving that current loss, because everything you've stuffed is going to come up with it. So the first time is always harder. My first time of really grieving was for Chowie Golden. Mm-hmm. And when he left, when I put him down, I was catatonic, I think, for 3 days, mm-hmm. you know, until I could then release it and let it out and all of that. It's always worse the first time. After that, then you only have to grieve, you know, anything you've stuffed since then and or what's going on in the mm-hmm. current situation, and it's easier. Are all the lessons I wanted to share. Let's get to
I just want to kind of add on the top of this is that human beings do the same thing. They rally. Oh, yeah,
really?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Especially I've seen, you know, several people with cancer patients that do that. But my mom for sure did it. My mom got cancer of the pancreas, and she did it. She died the 30th of December, and on Christmas Day, she was up and opening presents, and she had not gotten up or talked to us in over a week.
Wow.
So she got up, and then as soon as Christmas Day was over, she was back down and out. But yeah, that happens. But I also want to speak to not only your grief, but mm-hmm. if you have other, animal friends in your house, they grieve also. And I want you to remember that if this was a friend of theirs, or if this was somebody they played with, they loved, because they bond with each mm-hmm, other incredibly, mm-hmm. and they bond with the humans that they lose, they grieve. And you have to acknowledge and love them through their grief, too.
And I will tell you that this human-to-animal transference, they will be reflective of your process.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you how many times I get calls from people. I lost an animal friend. My other animal is grieving. It really needs help. How do I help my other animal friend? You don't. You help yourself. You do your own grieving, and mm-hmm. if you process your own grief, your animal will let you know when you've done a good job, because they'll get better, too.
They'll get better,
too. It's directly reflective mm-hmm. yeah. of that experience. And I can tell you, I think animals know their spirit first, physical body second.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe when you're honest with them, you let them understand what's going on and let them privy, it's a whole lot easier for them. Mm-hmm. Like when Annie, I was concerned about my G-Man.
Mm-hmm.
He was so bonded to Annie Golden. Oh my God, the two of them were like thick. I used to say, Annie and G-Man sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. Mm-hmm. That's the song I sang to them.
Yeah.
And I was concerned about that. But G-Man knew. Annie came back and stayed with G-Man to make sure he was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they would lay on the same rug together. This is Annie out of body coming back to comfort G for a few days, and then he was fine.
Yeah.
But he was part of the whole mm-hmm. process, and they understood it. I think sometimes they have a harder time mm-hmm. when we don't let them be part of the process.
No,
I know what's going on.
You know, I've got my five little poodles. I know we're all up against the clock, but when Shasta was going through all of her stuff and she was gone for several days,
mm-hmm.
they were at a loss. They just didn't know what to do. Because she is their big protector, and they do. They grieve too.
All right, we have got to wrap it up, folks. We're out of time. I'm going to let you know we will be continuing part two, the fourth Sunday of this month, May, will be our second parter. We'll pick up from here. If something we didn't cover and you want to know about it, email me, call me, let me know so we can start there mm-hmm. next time. And we will open phone lines so Kim can read for you.
Okay.
And as always, next week is Northwest School of Animal Massage in the studio. And as always, animals have feelings too, so treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to open your heart. Share your love with all living things, and we'll talk to you again next week.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Views expressed on the preceding program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. Contests mentioned during this program are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not of the station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK FM 98.9, Digital HD3 Seattle.